weekend we're looking at leadership. We want to explore the essentials of godly leadership. Tonight we'll look at clear guidance. Tomorrow night we want to look at clear conscience. And Sunday evening for our final essential of leadership, we'll look at clear belief. My son-in-law, I went over with him this afternoon the titles, and he says, well, you're talking about transparent leadership, if everything is clear, right? But tonight I would like us to look at two leaders, two different leaders. One illustrates leadership failure, and the other illustrates leadership success. And we want to see what made the difference, because the Bible tells us why one leader failed and why the other leader succeeded. But before we open the Bible, let's close our eyes and pray. Father in heaven, to take upon our lips the precious words of Scripture, what an awesome responsibility. To say no more and add nothing to your word, to say no less and detract nothing from your word. That's the task that you've assigned each of us and me tonight. Lord, may our thoughts not add anything, and may our thoughts not take away anything. I pray that the Holy Spirit may fill our minds so that we can understand your word and be changed because of our time together with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, we want to look at verses 13 and 14. These verses serve as an obituary to the first leader and an introduction to the second. 1 Corinthians 10. It sounds to me like you have it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not. Did I say Corinthians? I did. I'm talking about Chronicles. My dad was a minister, and he says, always listen to what I mean, not what I say. So I apologize for that. That is 1 Chronicles. Okay. I wondered why it looked like you were in such far into your Bible. 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. And he inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. The verse 13 and the first part of verse 14 provides the Bible summary of the life of Paul. I said Paul, didn't I?
We know what you mean.
King Saul. On this epitaph, no good deeds are recalled. There are no redeeming positives. There's no hint of praise. Saul's reign, which began with such promise, closed with utter and complete failure. Notice three great errors are singled out. Two errors of omission and one of commission. These three errors caused the judgments of heaven to fall on this leader. These errors ruined his life and his kingdom and lost both this life and eternal life for King Saul. But Saul's three errors are among the most common errors committed by leaders. Number one, failing to keep the Word of God. Number two, seeking counsel from mediums. And number three, failing to inquire of the Lord. Let's notice briefly these problems of Saul. Saul didn't keep the word of the Lord. Problem number one. Moses instructed the people how to keep the word of God. They were to keep God's instruction constantly before their eyes so that they could see it in everything they looked at. They were to keep God's words in their minds, just as the special music sang tonight. And they were to keep God's words on their lips, before their eyes, in their minds, and on their lips. And they were to meditate upon it day and night. They were to talk of it to their children and grandchildren. Its instruction was to regulate their going out and their coming in. It was to monitor every thought and every action, down to what they ate and when they ate it. It was to supervise even their choice of clothes to wear. The Word of God was to encompass all of their life. But Saul didn't love the Word of God, and he didn't keep the Word of the Lord to carefully follow it. God gave Saul instruction. But where Saul's ideas differed from God's instruction, he thought his ideas were, well, that's probably God's instruction. That's what God meant. And so he followed what God meant, not what God said. He followed his own way. Saul did what was right in his own eyes. He did not surrender to God to manage every detail, every moment of his life. God was not the manager of Saul's life. Saul was. He deluded himself by thinking this partial obedience was true obedience. He would have disagreed and argued with this epitaph. Saul told Samuel with a self-satisfied air, "I have performed the commandment of God." He proved the truth of Solomon's observations, all the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. When reproved for his errors, he felt misunderstood and mistreated. He justified himself. He defended his way. He thought his way was superior to God's way. Saul was like the Pharisees. Or shall we say the Pharisees were like Saul. It says in Luke 16:15, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth the heart." Saul's life is to serve as a warning to every leader. In life, we are to live by, what does Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what we're to live by. God has given us minute instruction on life. How to live, how to work, how to relate to others, how to spend our money. He has told us in detail what we are to do and what we are not to do. My family right now, we're going through the book Adventist Home for our evening worship. We are studying. We want to see, because God has a wonderful plan for homes. We want to see where His plan would improve our home. How can our home meet the ideal of God? And we've just started this exploration. Just this week, we read Adventist Home, page 21. Let me read this. "Those who, after receiving the truth, make no change in word or deportment, in dress or surroundings, are living to themselves, not to Christ." That's an interesting statement. Those who, after receiving the truth, make, what's the next two words? No change in word. That's how they talk. In deportment, what is that? How they act. In dress or surroundings. If there's no change in that, they're living to themselves, not to Christ. It goes on, "They have not been created anew in Christ Jesus unto purification and holiness." They, like Saul, do not keep the Word of God. Volume 4 of the Testimonies, page 391. Many, this was such an important statement that Ellen White herself copied it and repeated it in book 5 of the Testimonies. You can find it there too, but I'm giving the original. Volume 4, page 391. Many are going directly contrary to the light which God has given to His people. That's what Saul did, didn't he? He said, oh, I'm doing it okay. But he went directly contrary. And this says that every so often, if you look with a microscope, you'll find somebody that doesn't do it. No, it says what? Many are going directly contrary to the light which God has given to His people. And then it says why? Because they do not read the books, which contain the light and knowledge and cautions, reproofs and warnings. And then she adds this solemn thought, an account must be rendered to Him for every ray of light He has let shine upon our pathway, whether it has been improved to our advancement in divine things or rejected because it was more agreeable to follow inclination. What was registered in the book of heaven regarding Saul's life? Saul's life, if we are like him, we'll get the same registration in our names. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. Saul's refusal to obey the word of the Lord, to keep it, was the first and foremost reason that he perished. There was a second reason. It says Saul sought counsel from a medium. Now, he didn't really seek counsel from a medium. He really sought counsel from what? Samuel. Yes, he wanted counsel from a prophet of God. But he used a way forbidden of God to get counsel from God. There are millions today doing this, seeking to please God in paths He has forbidden. Millions are seeking wisdom from sources that God says, don't get wisdom from these sources. There isn't wisdom there. Here is the instruction God has given for us to spend evenings together with our family. This is volume 4 of the Testimonies, page 390, just before many are going directly contrary. It says, there should be evening readings in which one should read aloud to those assembled at the winter fireside. Much of it is concerning family duties, and instruction is given to meet almost every case and circumstance. Now, what have we been told to do for these long winter evenings? Somebody, the best reader of the house, can read. You know, this is a wonderful training for public speaking. One of the things that is different about our education today from an education of our grandparents, in the studies that have been shown, our grandparents knew how to read publicly. And those who can't read publicly can't speak publicly. You saw what happened when I stumbled around at the beginning. And God has designed in the home to teach us how to have good reading. And while we're learning how to read, and our children are learning how to read publicly and interestingly with the right enunciation and proper pronunciation and understanding and to make the sense known like it was made in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, when that happens, God gives the family to teach this instruction, to do it. But in place of spending quiet evenings as a family listening to God's Word, thousands are listening to mediums, television, radio, TV, and now home theaters. You don't have to go to a theater. You can have a theater. Volume 3 of Spirit of Prophecy, page 427. Could the veil be lifted, we would see evil angels employing all their arts to deceive and destroy. Wherever an influence is exerted to cause men to forget God, there Satan is exercising his bewitching power. All who venture into scenes of dissipation or irreligious pleasure, or seek the society of the sensualist, the skeptic, or the blasphemer, by personal intercourse or through the medium of the press. Today, she said, she would say through the medium of the medium. The media. Right? Are tampering with sorcery. How do we tamper with sorcery? By seeking the society of the sensualist, the skeptic, or the blasphemer, by personal intercourse or through the medium of the press, are tampering with sorcery. Ere they are aware, the mind is bewildered and the soul polluted. Are we seeing mediums? Are we inviting evil angels into our home? This is the second way that leaders can be destroyed. 1 Chronicles 10:13. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. But there was a third problem that brought destruction to Saul. He inquired not of the Lord. He didn't seek the way of the Lord. He didn't ask God for direction in his life. He consulted his wishes, his desires. That was direction enough. His taste, his preferences, that was guidance for him. He sought to please what the people wanted rather than what God commanded. And he didn't cry out to God, God, give me guidance. It's a common error by leaders. Jeremiah 10:21. Let me tell you what the NIV says. The shepherds are senseless and do not inquire of the Lord. So they do not prosper and all their flock is scattered. This was the error that Joshua made when entering a treaty with the Gibeonites, Joshua 9:14, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 15:13, this also is from NIV. It was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out in anger against us. We did not inquire of Him about how to do it in the prescribed way. An error David made when he didn't inquire of the Lord. What is the way of the Lord? It was the error of Ahab's son. He went to inquire of Beelzebub instead of the God of Israel. And it cost him his life and his salvation. This was the error of the Pharisees. Luke 7:30, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves. But it doesn't have to be our error. Inquiring of God was never Saul's first thought. He always felt competent to decide for himself. You remember, it was his servant that said, let's go see the prophet and see if he can help find our donkeys. Not Saul, his servant. He didn't value Samuel's instruction. He didn't value it enough to wait for Samuel 2 years later. Samuel had said in his very first instruction to Samuel, wait in Gilgal and I'm going to tell you what you need to do. He didn't wait. On another occasion when he inquired of the Lord, Saul didn't think there was time to wait for counsel, for Samuel 14:19. It was the high priest that on another occasion in a battle said, before we do this, let's counsel of the Lord. Not Saul. The village of Ramah, where Samuel lived, was only 6 to 7 miles from Gibeah of Saul, where Saul lived. But in 6 miles is not that far. I ran it today. Saul didn't take that little trip to get counsel from Samuel. And he didn't invite Samuel to come and give counsel to his court. He didn't inquire of the Lord. There were several reasons Saul didn't inquire of the Lord. We've already noted one. He didn't think he had the time. He wasn't willing to wait for it. It's a common reason for people not to receive counsel from God. You remember that statement in the book Education, page 260. Many, even in their seasons of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. They are in too great haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. This was Saul's problem. There was another problem that kept him from inquiring of the Lord. He didn't like the counsel of Samuel. It made him feel condemned. Many people are like Saul. I have run into many, many believers who say, well, no, I don't read Adventist Home. I don't read Child Guidance because it makes me feel condemned. They don't read the book. But what is the first work of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters? It's to convict us of sin. In turning away from what they feel is condemnation, but it's really God's loving conviction to them. They're turning away from the Holy Spirit. Adam and Eve, after they sinned, what did they do? Hid from God. Don't hide from God. Seek counsel of Him. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore, he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. How opposite to Saul was David's life. He sought God's guidance throughout his life. When Saul attempted to kill him, where did David flee? To Samuel. He wanted guidance. Samuel was a very old man, but David went there to receive direction, guidance, instruction from a prophet. But then David realized he was imperiling Samuel's final days. He was imperiling Samuel's life if he stayed, and so he had to flee again. But where did he flee the next time? He fled to the sanctuary where he could get instruction. But the sanctuary was only 2 miles there in Nob. It was 2 miles from Saul's court. And in this close proximity to Saul, David was observed. Notice 1 Samuel 22:9. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. 1 Samuel 22:10. Here is Doeg talking to Saul and says, well, I saw David there at Nob, and this is what he was doing. He inquired of the Lord for him, the high priesthood. Seeking guidance was David's purpose. David fled to the sanctuary to inquire of God. Inquiring of God at the sanctuary was David's habit. Notice the answer that Ahimelech, the high priest, gave Saul when he was brought in front of Saul and asked to answer the question, why did you give guidance to David? 1 Samuel 22, verse 15, the NIV makes it most clear. Ahimelech says in his defense, was that day the first time I inquired of God for him? Of course not. In other words, he says it was just a common occurrence. I didn't even think anything about it. Of course David would seek guidance from me. David frequently consulted the Lord. To have God's guidance constantly, that was the chief desire of David's life. In fact, he sang about this desire, Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. God gave him guidance. 1 Samuel 22:5. The prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hole, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Now notice how God arranged to guide David. He could no longer see Samuel. It would risk Samuel's life. He could no longer go to the sanctuary. And so God sent a prophet to David. After King Saul had the high priest slain, verse 20 of 1 Samuel 22:5, it says that Abiathar, who would be the high priest after his father was slain, escaped to David. In verse 6 of the next chapter, 1 Samuel 23:6, we find that Abiathar escaped with the ephod and brought the ephod to David. In other words, David couldn't go to Samuel. A prophet comes to David. David couldn't go to the sanctuary. The sanctuary comes to David. If you want guidance, God will arrange for guidance. Amen. David was constantly inquiring of the Lord. Before engaging in any matter, even a good matter, David sought God's direction. Notice 1 Samuel 23:1, and I'll give you time to turn to chapter 23 of 1 Samuel. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Now, that's a simple one. Don't need God's guidance for that. David is set for the defense of Israel, and the Philistines are attacking Keilah. Of course he needs to go there. Not so quick. What did David first do? He didn't assume every call, even a good call, was the call of God. He said, God, I need to know, do you want me to deliver Keilah? Is that your work for me? You can't do everything, so you want to do what God wants you to do, right? And therefore, verse 2, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Now his men were not convinced that the ephod was working at that time. They had some questions. Maybe it was broken. Are you sure that wasn't Satan there whispering? So, verse 3, David's men said unto him, behold, we are afraid here in Judah, how much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines. Verse 4, then David, what? Inquired of the Lord. What does it say? Yet again. And the Lord said, I don't know what your translation says, but let me read what mine does, the Modified King James Version. And the Lord answered him and said, why do you keep talking to me? I've already told you I'm too busy. Just figure this one out yourself. Is that what your version says? No. The Lord was happy that David wanted to get his direction. And again he told him, he said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men, not just David, but his men decided this must be from the Lord. They fought with the Philistines, brought away their cattle, and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now after delivering Keilah from the Philistines, the Keilahites were so happy. And then they faced another danger. First they'd been besieged by the Philistines. Now they were going to be besieged by Saul. It was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand. What did Saul say? Now I've got God's direction. How often people say Satan's work is the work of God. Don't be fooled by someone saying, God has done this. I see it all the time. See it in courtship. God arranged this. God didn't have anything to do with it. And Saul, who was following his own devices, Saul, who was not inquiring of the Lord, was the source of this, but who did he think it was? God. Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now, we know that's what he was doing. But do you know he was pretending not to do that? He was pretending to have a time we're going to just rejoice and we're going to celebrate with the Keilans that they've been rescued. We can all be happy. Notice verse 9. David knew that Saul, what's that next word? Secretly practiced mischief against him. This is all secret. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. I need some guidance. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hands? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Saul might be able to deceive some. He might be able to have secret ideas, but he can't deceive God. When you get guidance from God, it cuts through lies of man. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah. And then these next phrase, sort of sad, and went whithersoever they could go. Now, this is the kind of guidance that Saul did not seek. Would this guidance have helped Saul? Would this guidance have helped any leader? Will this kind of guidance help you? Do you want this kind of guidance in your life? Do you want to come and go at the command of God like David did? Again and again, David received God's guidance. God's guidance saved his life. It saved him from missteps. It brought unity. When a mutiny among his own supporters, this is not the enemy's, this wasn't the Philistines, this wasn't Saul. David was in danger of being killed by his own followers, those 600 men. But in this time of crisis, David strengthened himself in the Lord. He asked Abiathar, bring the ephod, and he got guidance. It unified his forces, and they conquered in a battle. After Saul's death, when David was in perplexity, where do I relocate? I've been here in the Philistines. What do I do next? God said, go to Hebron. When battling the Philistines, David received absolute battle plans from God. And each time they were different, not the same. When attempting to understand the cause of a prolonged famine, David was informed of the cause and then knew what course to pursue, all by inquiring of the Lord. Following God's directions brought him peace. It brought him success and blessing to every undertaking. During the days of Saul, the sanctuary had been taken away from the people. All the priests were either dead or fled. The ephod was with David. But as the people observed the advantages that David had with the guidance from heaven, they said, that's what we need. They wanted access to the sanctuary and its guidance. Notice 1 Chronicles, 13:3. When David became king, they said, do you have it? Let us bring again the ark of our God to us, they said, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. When the sanctuary was restored, all Israel had access to God's guidance again. brothers and sisters, today Samuel is dead. Today the ephod is hidden. Where can we get this kind of guidance today? Since October 22, 1844, the sanctuary has been restored. We have access to the high priest. And covered by his blood, we can come boldly into his presence, Hebrews 4:16. No one can take that sanctuary away from us. We can go to a high priest that's better than Abiathar. We can have access to a prophet that's more reliable than Samuel. And the promise is the Lord shall guide thee continually. Ellen White wrote, Testimonies to Ministers, page 487, "Frequently I receive letters from individuals telling me of their troubles and perplexities and asking me to inquire of God as to what is their duty. To those for whom the Lord has given me no light, I have often replied, I have not been appointed by God to do such a work as you ask me to do. The Lord Jesus has invited you to bring your troubles to one who understands every circumstance of your life." Would you like to be guided continually? Every step, every decision. We were at GYC this last late December. And I had just received a GPS system. Now, do you all know what a GPS is? I brought one. It will not give you very good guidance in here. You know why? It needs contact with heaven, and this shuts contact with heaven out. But what a relief. We got it the evening before we were to drive up to Baltimore. And all the way up, I enjoyed driving. It would tell me where to turn, where not to turn. When we missed one turn because it was sort of sudden and there was a lot of traffic, it told us what to do next. And we lost maybe a minute of time. Well, I had a committee meeting to go to, and my wife needed to pick up Eric, our son-in-law. We just had this. She hadn't learned yet how to use it. And we were in the parking garage in this big hotel. And the nice thing, you know, it just took us right to it. No, that was wonderful. Guidance is good. But she had to go to the airport. I didn't even know the address of the airport, but I entered into airport, and there it showed the nearest airports, which happened to be the Baltimore, Washington International Airport. And so we said, go there. But the satellites weren't available because we were inside, just like we are now. And she had to trust that as soon as there was contact with heaven, it would take her there. And it did. No problem. All it needed for direction was contact with heaven. What kind of leader do you want to be? Like Saul or like David? 1 Chronicles 10:13, "So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse." Shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, I pray that You'll forgive us for our sins, that You'll connect us with the heavenly positioning service, HPS, that we can have daily guidance from Your Word. I pray that we will keep Your Word. I pray that we may not inquire of mediums. And I pray that we may inquire of You. With your head bowed, how many of you would like to show by quickly lifting your hand that you want God to guide you? Father, You've seen these hands, and I pray that You will answer that through the blood of Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2007, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America.